John Batchelor with Henry Sokolsky of the Non-Proliferation Policy Education Center, examining what we know and a lot of what we don't know about the threat to the Zaporizhia nuclear power station in Ukraine in the Dnieper River Valley that is now occupied by Russian forces who are not leaving and are not cooperating with requests by the United Nations, the nuclear agency watchdog, IAEA, to inspect, take possession of, declare a non-military zone, protect in some fashion from the accidents of war. We now go to the future, immediate future, not distant. This is a statement from the Moscow Times. European leaders should be wary of possible incidents, said former president of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev. Russia's ex-leader, who has become increasingly hawkish, writes this report, made the threat in a post on messaging app Telegram about the shelling of Zaporizhia in Russian-controlled southern Ukraine. The quote, it seems like Kyiv, and then he has a derogatory term, Kyiv and their Western patrons are ready to orchestrate a new Chernobyl. Rockets and shells are falling closer and closer to the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant reactor, said Medvedev in his post. They say it's Russia. This is obviously 100% nonsense, even for the stupid Russophobic public in the West. And then he goes on to say that everyone should be wary of possible incidents in their own countries. Henry, this is packaged as a concern by Mr. Medvedev, but it's certainly implicit a threat. To your knowledge, and you've been working on this a long time, the nuclear power plants that are in what is now the European war zones, have they developed contingency plans in the event that they're facing a Zaporizhia-like scenario?
At the time of 9/11, the French put active air defenses around their large and very vulnerable and highly radioactive spent fuel chemical separation reprocessing plant at La Hague. I believe they took those defenses down. Other than that, I do not remember or recall anything yet being done, other than not in Western Europe, but Belarus has an active missile defense brigade assigned to its reactor site. They seem to be concerned that this might happen. By the way, I couldn't resist, or I can't resist, commenting that one of the generals on the site of the reactor in Ukraine has publicly stated that the site has been strewn with mines to explode and the nuclear facility and eliminate it if there's any question of whether or not it will stay in Russian hands. So the idea that the Russians don't have any responsibility for threatening to destroy the plant kind of doesn't jibe very well with this statement that was reported.
But Mr. Medvedev is speaking of the future. This is the money quote. Don't forget that there are nuclear sites in the European Union, too. Henry, there are plenty of nuclear plants in the European Union. I remember passing one of them in Bavaria when I visited Germany back in the late 20th century. And I looked at that plant, and this is the height of the Cold War under Ronald Reagan, you understand, when the bombers go out tonight remark was featured everywhere, and there was genuine fear all around the world of nuclear power, of nuclear missile strike. And I thought to myself at the time, you know, that's in an active war zone. What could happen if? But I was a young man and didn't think it through. Here we are with Medvedev making a threat to the European Union. Let me tick off the countries where this would be a grave concern right now. Poland, where the 82nd Airborne, we're told, has been deployed. The F-35s have been deployed, and Poland is evidencing that it is eager to contest the Russian Federation. Taiwan, recently threatened all around by the forces of the PLA. There are two active plants in Taiwan, one being built. South Korea, the threats to South Korea by the North Korean forces are routine. We've even sort of looked past it over the years. And then we have a plan in Romania, which regards itself as the front line. These countries, are they preparing for this? You've told me Japan is.
Well, they're talking about it in Japan. I think people in South Korea are privately concerned. The people in Taiwan actually have radiation fire drills next to the three active reactors. I mentioned Belarus, but after that, I think the lack of interest and activity is stunning. And I really have to scratch my head and to wonder, well, why aren't we talking about, A, the vulnerabilities of operating plants or spent fuel storage facilities and waste sites on the one hand, and second, you know, does it make sense to build more of these things? You know, what exactly are we going to do to protect them that will make that a smart move? No discussion, none.
All right, we've got a minute, Henry. What is to be done? What can be done now or in the future about what we apparently need to plan for?
I would start with clarifying what the vulnerabilities of various facilities are, per se, nuclear facilities, to military assaults and the kinds of releases that would occur. I would try to identify where the war zones will be or are, and ask the question, do we build there? And I would certainly take some effort to study what are the implications for NATO and allied and U.S. forces located near any of these facilities if they should be hit. We've got a lot of homework to do and some public policy to create. I might add one other thing, a fourth thing. We might start talking about what we think the rules of war ought to be with regard to these targets. That also needs to be ventilated again now, given what we've just seen in the last week.
The ambassador to the United States, from the United States to the United Nations, declared very accurately early in this conflict that the occupation of Chernobyl and Zaporizhia were war crimes. That has not in any fashion influenced the Russian decision to occupy, to fortify, and to threaten Zaporizhia. Henry Sikalski is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.